It's time to talk about things like high upside and great motors.
I would not take a quarterback there. I would get one of those receivers. Now you got weapons around the quarterback, or you get the left tackle to bookend.
This is a draft week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Get $2,000 off a new energy efficient system now through May 31st. Call or visit aeheatingandcooling.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080. The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here. Ripping and rolling on a Tuesday. Good morning. If you miss any of the show, you can always catch it at the YouTube page or 1080thefan.com. Talked a little NBA. What size toilet Shaq requires in emergency situations. Happy birthday to Jack Nicholson, 88 years young.
That's a big toilet. Got to have a big toilet.
I don't know if we'll get to it today, but there's starting to be a little chatter crapping all over the city of Portland with our financials for the Portland Diamond Project.
Yeah, you want angry pants dirt over here. People keep going down this road. You're going to get angry pants dirt.
I inspired one person to go on his national podcast.
You did. We'll have to get him back on the show. You talked about it the other day. I think you mentioned when this news came out. I think we talked about it last week. You said you had texted him.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that he had done this until a listener earlier today had said, well, I just saw David Sampson tear Portland a new one. And I'm like, all right, now I got to go find that.
I mean, I don't know if I'd say tear a new one.
There's a lot of op-eds coming out all of a sudden. God forbid the insane amount of taxes that we spend in Multnomah County go towards something that I want to use. God forbid we get something nice out of being one of the most taxed counties in the entire country. Please just give me Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I'm one of those individuals that like totally understands.
City that works. Works for who? Give me baseball.
I totally understand it. But like I've also kind of flipped because I'm selfish as a sports fan, and I'm like, just give them all the money, build it.
Take all the money. I don't care how much do you need to raise my property taxes by. Go for it.
It's
all right.
It's a John Oliver piece that says, "Don't do it."
I don't care.
I know.
I want to sit in a ballpark in the middle of July on an 87 degree Tuesday. Okay, it's all I want. My look out on the river, the DDPCs running people back and forth across the Willamette. Give me something nice for once.
You're
please.
A weird lib.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Tired of paying all these taxes and not getting my roads fixed.
We'll get to some Blazer news here in a second. I wanted to give you guys a heads up. If you didn't hang out with us yesterday on the program, or you're just catching the show at the start of the 7 a.m. hour, I don't know if you've heard this, but it's back.
Like, yeah, 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 yeah.
Your local Toyota dealers presents the 11th annual Fan Golf Classic back at Langdon Farms Golf Club on Tuesday, June 24th. Brought to you by Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors and by Philbrook Law Accident and Injury Lawyers. Once again, there'll be morning and afternoon flights. 7 a.m., 1 p.m. are your two rounds.
Holy crap!
Matt's Barbecue, again, will be catering the post-round meals. Foursomes can be purchased right now. 1080thefan.com. Again, 1080thefan.com. Click on the Fan Golf Classic logo for details and link to purchase your foursome. We'll have more information as we, you know, get closer and closer.
We got more announcements. There's going to be different sponsorships, all sorts of cool things that'll be involved. It's going to be a blast.
But we look forward to seeing you out at Langdon Farms on Tuesday, June 24th. Should be a good time.
It's going to be a blast. It's always a great time every year. We can't wait. It's going to be fun. And if you want to play, usually the afternoon round sells out quicker. So if you're looking for an afternoon tee, we give this warning every year, and then people don't listen to us. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, you got any foursomes left for the afternoon? It's like, no, the afternoon sells out like that. So if you want one of those afternoon tee times to do the whole, hey, I'm actually working, but I'm not really working thing, which we all love to do from time to time, go book it now. TeddyToTheFan.com.
You have to bear with us. That was the NFL one. There is an NBA one, but that's the NFL sound.
The
NBA
they ones? Used the same one.
I think they used the same one.
They used the
they?
Same one for the, sure? yeah, I think the they WNBA the same draft. One. They used the same one.
No kidding. That's yeah. their draft sound when the pick is in.
It is kind of a nice, delightful draft
there
pick
was,
sound.
It's a great sound.
There was a SportsCenter feature. I think it was Sunday morning SportsCenter.
On how this was created?
On who, yeah, who created, how it came about, when it was first used. And they had it ready to go for a certain draft, but for some reason there was production crap and they didn't get it to like the ninth pick of the draft. For some reason they couldn't figure out how to get
it going. That was the debut of the ninth pick of a draft.
All of a sudden with the ninth pick.
Yeah, hey, it was the eighth or ninth pick.
Why does that
something.
Guy get a sound effect? Huh? The first seven or eight didn't get one? Those are big names.
Well, that sound you hear.
I kind of want that to be like my text message ringtone now.
You'd get annoyed of it pretty quick.
I probably would, yeah.
I want to like it. I don't want to hate it.
And just hear it three times a year?
It's like a good song. It's like I want to hear it, but like don't play it as much as you're playing it. But
how many rounds of draft do you watch in a year?
Which draft?
Total. Like, what's your total number of rounds watched?
Two NBA. Two WNBA.
Seven in the NFL.
Seven in the NFL. Who knows how
many? Nobody watches the MLB one. I'll watch usually the first round of the NHL draft because that's on a Friday night and then the rest of it's on a Saturday.
Is it on or am I, like, watching?
On.
Mm.
Yeah. I think I'm at two rounds. You're at five rounds, really.
Yeah.
You go into the NFL weekend? Is that where you stack up? Or are you going at WNBA?
I watched the first of the WNBA.
Okay.
I mean, it was. I had both rounds on, but like largely did not pay attention to the second round of the WNBA.
Yeah.
Both in the NBA, because usually our team's involved.
True.
Yeah.
And then I watch probably the first two and a half rounds of the NFL.
Do you really? You follow into Friday?
Yeah, and then I go into the blogs and see.
Yeah, Saturday morning it starts going.
I quit.
You lose me after like the 22nd pick, I think, in the NFL
draft. Picking every, what, 3 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes from rounds 4 through 7.
Yeah, it speeds up over the weekend.
And then there's like, Willie One Leg McGee. Yeah. He's coming up to announce the next pick. Coming up with his prosthetic leg. Hey! What up, Green Bay? Go Eagles!
Boo! Boo.
And then he announces the pick. You know, it's fun to see on the internet, but I don't really watch it.
No, I think I don't even know if I make it. I'll be curious on Thursday if I make it through the entire first round because there's going to be other games. There's like playoff games going on Thursday. So you're going to there's going to be multiple screens involved. It's going to be a busy evening.
Boy, I might be the worst person to invite to do that.
You'll have Knicks Pistons game 3, LA.
Would you go total heel?
I'd be such a dude. I grew up on wrestling. I would be such a heel.
So your Thursday games in the you're going to get Knicks Pistons at 4
right
on TNT. You get Nuggets Clips game 3 on Thursday.
Yeah, that's going to take precedent for
and
me.
Then isn't Lakers Timberwolves?
No, you get Thunder Memphis, which nobody cares about. Yeah. The Nuggets Clippers game is on NBA TV on Thursday. The Thunder and Grizzlies are on TNT. Wow. Why is this on TNT? Somebody explain this to me. They're on TNT.
Nuggets Clippers on NBA TV of all the games.
OKC Memphis tips at 6:30, second half of the TNT doubleheader, and Nuggets and Clippers is on at 7.
Pistons Knicks
on NBA TV.
OKC Memphis should be, but Pistons,
is that the
Knicks
league
more.
Trying to drive eyeballs to NBA TV? That's the only thing I can think of.
I don't get it. Is it a Ja Morant thing? He's so big with the kids. We got to put him on TNT.
I don't know.
Throwing his grenades. I don't understand. They're on TNT tonight, too.
By the way.
Look, Milwaukee, Indiana is not that entertaining of a series. Right. I grant you that. But it is far more entertaining than Oklahoma City and Memphis.
Giannis on,
It's not a grenade, by the way.
It's not. What's he throwing?
What is it?
He's blocking out the noise. He's taking the noise and he's throwing it out and then he's covering his ears.
Because it's too
loud.
A lot of noise.
And this wasn't a gun.
No. Who shoots a gun like that?
He was just holding
this broom.
The support of his community.
The baby? Yeah. What are we
in
doing?
Gun form. And then aiming it at the opposing team to say, I have support.
Okay.
Maybe it was like a love gun. He's just shooting love at the teammates, at the opponents. Here's some love for you and some love for you.
Is that what he said on his Instagram out of the strip club?
Yeah, he was just there showing love.
What up, world? Here's my love gun.
This is my love gun here at the House of Love.
Let's get back into what we were supposed to get into.
Yeah, what do we got? Sorry. I digress.
Your Portland Trailblazers have lost the coin flip to the old Phoenix Suns.
Of course they did.
The draft lottery odds are now set, and the Trailblazers are on the clock. They have the 10th pick if everything falls exactly where it's supposed to. But the math doesn't always math, so we know they may move up. There's a possibility they may move back.
They could.
And if this isn't a kick in the nuts, how about this little twist? Not only did you lose the coin flip, again, nice to read the dream book and recap us losing a key.
What's our number on coin flips? Are we 0-3 now on coin flips? What's our franchise record?
I think we've won one back in the day,
Can you correct something of historical nature that I think I've had wrong my entire existence?
Okay.
I feel like in elementary school, somebody at some point told me we had a coin flip to be named Boston or Portland. and yes. we lost it? Is that accurate?
Well, for the city name?
Yes.
Yeah.
So there were whoever were the founding...
The founding fathers of Portland. Whites. The founding yeah. whites of Portland.
So one was from Portland, Maine. One was from Boston, Massachusetts. And they couldn't decide, so they did flip a coin.
They flipped a coin.
Right. Portland just continually losing coin flips in every
manner.
Well,
Portland won. Boston lost.
Boston lost.
Well, I'd rather be loser there because we'd have the Red Sox.
Would you? We wouldn't be Boston. We wouldn't have the Red Sox.
We would be Boston, Oregon.
We'd be Boston, Oregon.
We'd have a different mentality.
See, no, I don't think we would.
We'd be
actually
more aggressive.
This
we'd
is what I'm
Bostonian.
We'd be all pocking the car. Yeah. Is that yeah. what you're telling us?
Give me my Dunkin' Donuts. I want my donuts! We would be the laughingstock if our city name was Boston. We'd be Little Boston. We're bigger than Portland, Maine. When people think of Portland, we come to mind. More so than Portland, Maine. Without a doubt. Especially what's happened in our city in the last 10 years.
I hosted a gambling show with a lady in Boston, and my producer's from Long Island. I am telling you fairly confidently, East Coast people do not think of Portland, Oregon.
We would never get recognition if we were Boston, Oregon.
Yeah, we would.
No, we would not.
Bill Burr would be from here.
Oh, yeah, that's
because it rains all the time. He's pissed off.
We did win the 1974 coin toss that got us Bill Walton.
Really?
Hey.
How about that?
Look at us. We got one coin toss win in our here in our history.
I was about to drop this.
No one cares!
And then you said Bill Walton. And I went, well, that one actually.
Well, you know, that was a big deal. It's the only time we've ever done anything good in our franchise.
So not only did we lose the coin flip, and I know the pro Trailblazers, everything's great, rainbow sunshine people would say, percentages are really not that different, guys. Okay, that's fair. How about this kick in the nuts? Not only did we lose the coin flip to Phoenix, so we're technically in the 10th seed, or 10 spot. If the Phoenix Suns somehow break through and win the lottery,
the coin flip pick, they get the pick.
They get the pick. Not only would that be a kick in the nuts because that should have been us.
If you didn't lose a coin flip.
I'm now going to tell you that Cooper Flagg will be a Houston Rocket.
Yeah, the thing that they're missing, a superstar player.
And so the Houston Rockets are the other young team that we like to tout here to say we could be them.
Already better than you.
And they're the 2 seed in the West this year, and they've got slightly better odds to get Cooper Flagg than you do.
I mean, when I saw this yesterday, you texted that they lost. I was not watching. I wasn't sure when the coin flip was going to take place. I just, at this point, all I can do is laugh. All I can do is laugh. They've done this to themselves for incompetent end-of-the-season management and for fans celebrating winning 10 out of 11 games because, yay, my Tuesday was fun! Here we are with the 10th worst odds, or best odds, depending on how you want to define it, in the NBA draft. And Phoenix winning the number one overall pick. Either of the two teams ahead of you would just be... There's been a lot of kick in the nuts over the last 15 years as Blazer fans.
That'd be a big one.
That'd be near the top of the list. Because one, San Antonio, you should have chased down if you knew what you were doing. Because if you're talking percentages, 9 to 10 is not that big of a difference. If you won this coin toss, your odds to win the lottery were 3.8%.
But you were arguing and screaming about catching San Antonio at one point when we were right behind them.
Yes.
So you cannot tell me that those percentages matter and this one's not that big a deal. It's more percentages. It's
higher any percentage numbers. is a massive deal. So being in San Antonio spot almost doubles your odds from either the Phoenix spot or the Portland spot.
They have a 3.7% chance of the number one pick, a 4% chance of the second pick, a 4.4% chance of the third pick, and they have a 16.9% chance of moving into the top four. If they do not move up in the lottery, they cannot finish in the 5 to 9 pick positions.
No.
They have an 81.9% chance, 81.9, of picking 10 or 11.
Yep.
They have a significantly better chance of moving back a spot than sniffing the top four.
And you're stuck exactly where you are without a star player on your team, and you're going to be a fun little engine that could next year that, golly gee willigers, we play good defense from time to time. But until you land that guy, nothing in your circumstances will change.
But if they're the 10th seed, boy, that was the bar. They took one step forward.
That's the bar, man. That's the bar.
Let's get to the Nuggets-Clippers game. Let's move on from depressing Blazer lottery news. The Nuggets-Clippers game. Boy, that series is something. We'll get to that next on The Fan. I don't get to get on my soapbox often. I mean, I do, but I don't choose to at all times. Ian Furness at the bottom of the hour. I'll just say this. If you tell me that the NBA sucks, you just outright don't like basketball anymore, and you just need to look in the mirror and tell yourself that, and then shut up and then not watch basketball. Just watch your football, watch your occasional random what the hell ever. Pipe down on basketball. Clippers Nuggets is elite high level basketball. That was as good a basketball as you've ever seen in your life. I'm just telling you up front, straight up it was. Statistically, the play, all of it. That's as good a basketball as you've seen in your life. May not have a Michael Jordan in the game, but if you didn't like it, you don't like basketball. And that's okay. You don't have to like basketball. But stop piping in about basketball and how bad it is when that game existed.
That game was incredible last night. The first game was easily the best game in all of sports over the weekend. And the second game, they had competition last night, but it was the best game of last night. It was back and forth. Every time it felt like the Clippers were taking control, Denver would somehow pull a 6-0 run out of their butt in like 12 seconds. And you're like, okay, they were down by 7. Now they're down by 1. And the toughest news if you're a Nuggets fan is that Jokic wasn't the best player on the floor. And there's not many guys that can do that to him, and there's not many games in which that happens to him. Kawhi Leonard was unbelievable last night. It was a vintage, oh, that's right. Remember when this guy used to do this in the playoffs seemingly every year? And he'd play in like 12 regular season games, and then come playoff time, he'd be like, damn, he's really good. I mean, he almost couldn't miss for three quarters. He had a couple of misses in the fourth. But to go 39 points on 19 field goal attempts.
15 of 19.
So he had 39 points, 19 field goal attempts, and he only made 5 free throws. So it wasn't like, you know, sometimes you get those stat lines where you're just, you know, he made 17 free throws in the game, and that's how he just did. I mean, he couldn't miss. He did everything. He was dominant defensively. He was unbelievable last night, and they needed every single one of those points because randomly for Denver, like you usually see in a playoff series, oh, look at that. Michael Porter Jr. had a competent basketball game, which he'll probably only do once in the series. They used up the game, and it wasn't enough because Kawhi Leonard was just too good last night.
We had Draymond pushing Şengün in game one of Houston Golden State. Can we just... We had a tiny brouhaha between these two teams last night with a Murray Norm Powell.
Picked him up.
And then we review it, and then we assess like 4 technical. I just like, come on, man.
It's playoff basketball. Just play.
What if I'm the league? I'm calling right now. Don't do that again. Kawhi was awesome. You were right. Outshined, especially at the end there. Mm-hmm. Jokic, his turnaround fadeaway on Aaron Gordon. I don't even know he got that off.
I felt like most of his shots. It wasn't that they were just going in. It was as pure as Kapir B. Not off the backboard. One bounce. Just everything was just. Just perfect.
That 3 to end the half, I mean, they were right on the broadcast. Brown made a great defensive play. Like, he's shooting that at a weird angle.
Yeah.
And it's just like butter.
Just wet.
He was just unbelievable. I was getting to a point where I know we would name B-Roy because we always like to throw B-Roy out. He might be the player that we look back and we say a lot of what ifs all time.
Because for sure.
We'll remember him all time.
He's got multiple titles with different teams. But might have another one. Who knows?
The season he didn't play in San Antonio, that was his last one. He played like 4 games.
Yep.
And then something weird happened.
The tenure in L.A. so far has been largely a disaster.
It has been. And it's because he hasn't been healthy. He hasn't played. It's he for me, and people act like that Toronto team wasn't loaded.
It was a very good team.
It was a very good team.
And they won because Kevin Durant tore his Achilles.
That too. But he won that championship. We put him on this pedestal of like maybe he's the best player in the league. And then basically since then, he hasn't stayed healthy enough to be in that.
No.
But then he shows you that and you go, man, if you're healthy and you play 70 of 82.
That's a scary, scary dude.
That's
man.
A dude that is putting himself in conversations. I also was thinking about this last night. Jokic was good until the fourth quarter. He had some turnovers, some bad decision-making stuff. Not his typical Jokic game, 26, 10, and 12. I mean, how dare he only have a triple-double?
That's a down game for him, 26, 10, and 12.
As much as you talk about him being a top five, jokingly, the way I talked about Steph being top five, I mean, Swag, I think you'd back me on this. We crap on the older generations of players from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
I would pay heavy top dollar to watch Hakeem be able to grow up in this era. Because I think Hakeem could be doing all of these Jokic things.
Yeah, probably.
Yes.
Dribbling
and would have
handling the ball.
Would have developed a 3-point shot. He was.
He could already kind of dribble. He was doing moves out on the, you know, just at the free throw extension.
Yes.
I would have loved to
see Hakeem be brought up and developed. You know, his skill set would have translated beautifully to this era of basketball.
100%. I mean, this is high. It was just elite basketball last night.
It was a great game. The effort, the intensity. It's everything you want. And I'm this way. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. I was this way in hockey, and I was this way in the NBA. I was ready. It's hard to get me to care about game 67 of the regular season when I already kind of know the matchups. I know how everything's going to ratchet up in a couple of weeks. Now we're here, and games like that show you exactly why. Not that you don't get exciting regular season games, but I feel like in the regular season, that final last night's like 127-125, and it's a classic game. You remember it. But there's something different about the level of intensity on both ends of the floor. Lower scoring games a little bit in terms of modern NBA standards so far in this series. It was awesome basketball.
So far, I'm 100% right on the game by game.
Your game by game?
Yeah.
That was a tough one for me last night. I had a Pistons and Nugs moneyline parlay. Pistons won.
The Nugs are going to go up 2-0, huh?
I just, you know, I felt good. You're
at
home.
This feels like a good series. Like
it's going to be a long
type
series. Yeah, I mean, they were a couple possessions away from doing it.
No, close. I know. Not the most ridiculous thing. I just thought maybe you'd say, all right, they're going to flip-flop.
I just like the odds. I like the odds in the Nugs, and I like the Pistons to go into New York and get a win, but came up just short last night.
What are the Seahawks going to do with their first-round draft pick? Are they eyeing a quarterback at all in this draft? Are the Sonics coming back this summer? We got a lot to talk about. Are the Mariners for real? Let's talk with Ian Furness coming up of 93.3 KJR. For the Daily Ticker.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Crack open a can of Beat Breaker Double IPA and take a bold, hoppy break. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Tuesday, brought to you as always by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. The return of warmer weather, Pelican Brewing brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see. Joining us now is our good buddy from Seattle, always kind with his time, 93.3 KJR, and obviously the Kraken Hockey Network as well, Ian Furness, at Ian D. Furness on Twitter. You can go give him a follow there. Buddy, good morning. We got a lot we want to get to with you. I want to start with the Cam Ward thing. I just am curious the emotions that are going in. I mean, he's going to be the number one overall pick on Thursday. You guys found him up in Pullman. He goes on to Miami. Of just what that emotion is like of having a former Coug likely be the number one pick in the draft on Thursday.
I think the key word is former. And by the way, good morning, fellas. Mm-hmm. I think the key word is former. So he's a Miami Hurricane, and away he went. So I personally don't really have any emotions. Mm. I always heard he was a good guy and good kid and all that, but you know, he wasn't great at Wazoo. It's kind of funny with him. He was the poster child for NIL. Like, if you remember, he was probably the first NIL player in the state of Washington before Washington had any guys or the Cougs. And he came up there for a reported package of a whopping $100,000 or so. he had a truck, had a condo. His parents had some trips paid for to go see him play. And most people felt like he didn't live up to that NIL deal when it was all said and done.
Yeah.
So, my, how things have changed, right? Over the years, it's changed quite a bit since that time. But, I mean, he improved, I guess, last year at Miami. He still, you know, would make some inexplicable mistakes. He certainly didn't scream number one overall to me, but here we are this season. Everybody needs a quarterback.
I'm curious to ask you about that position. We looked this up the other day, and I know you probably knew this as quick as we'd ask you it, but looking up the Seahawks not drafting a quarterback in the first round since Rick Meyer was very eye-opening for us. I think it's the third longest streak of a franchise in the NFL. If the Saints draft one, it'll be second. I know they haven't needed one every year since then, but just your curiosity of the Seahawks not being a team that's largely been drafting quarterbacks since, what, 1993? And does this feel like a year where maybe they take one in one of the early rounds, even though they just signed Sam Darnold?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there's been a strong reluctance from John Schneider to go down that road. I mean, it is funny because I was looking through the year by year and then the positions that they've drafted, only long snapper and kicker, I guess, would be fewer in terms of the position that they've drafted than quarterback. And believe it or not, they did draft a long snapper once, a guy named Tyler Schmidt, I think it was. That was a Tim Ruskell pick. And Tim Ruskell remains just one of those, it's just what a nightmare he was. It's funny, every year we think Schneider might take a quarterback. He doesn't. He took Russ, obviously, in the third round in 2012, and then he took a guy named Alex Magoo in the seventh round a few years later, and that's it as far as quarterbacks. Alex Magoo, XFL, UFL, whatever the UFL is.
You make that
is,
name up, Furness?
Yeah, that sounds like a made-up name. Is this real? Do we need to fact-check this? A Magoo?
All of your listeners who are big fans of whatever the spring league is that's going on right now, I forget what they call it, UFL or XFL. He's a legend. I think he's still playing. I think I saw him step on the field the other day briefly. But he's never taken a guy like last year might have been the year go down that road, grab a guy on day two or day three after the first six guys were drafted, and he didn't do it then either. And they just re-signed Drew Locke, brought him in as a backup for Sam Darnold. They like Locke. They were surprised that he didn't get a shot in New York. That was just an absolute gong show there. So I don't think they'll take one this year, certainly not early. I mean, I guess the intriguing thing would be, what if Shedeur Sanders is available at 18? I can't see them going down that road, not with Darnold, not with Drew Locke. I think there's just too much baggage there, and he's not good enough. I mean, by all evaluations, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders are both guys that would have been, day two guys, if it was last year's draft with the other six guys. They wouldn't have gone in front of the six guys who went in the first round, so I just think it's a value. You got to find value with the quarterback. If you miss on a DB or a linebacker or something else, those guys could at least still usually play, like special teams or do something. If you miss on a quarterback, it's just a wasted pick. And Schneider has had a reluctance to do so.
Yeah, especially in this draft, it makes sense. Ian Furness, our guest, 93.3 KJR up in Seattle, the Kraken Hockey Network as well. When you look at their prospects going into this draft, what stands out in terms of need? I know Schneider had comments the other day about the offensive line, saying, well, a lot of teams in the NFL have to improve their offensive line. They haven't done a lot in that regard in the offseason, and they just traded for a quarterback who doesn't handle pressure as well as the last one did. So what stands out as needs for you now, 48 hours away from the start of the draft?
Well, it's interesting because some of the underlying numbers tell us that Geno didn't handle the pressure well either, but we'll see how he handles that in Vegas. The offensive line's a weird thing. Whereas the Seahawks have taken like nearly zero quarterbacks, just two in Schneider's tenure since 2010. No team, I think they're the second highest number of offensive linemen drafted since 2010. Only one or two other teams have drafted more, but no one's drafted with less success than Seattle on the offensive line. Russell Okung was drafted in 2010, made a Pro Bowl in 2012. And I believe it's 24 offensive linemen have been selected by Schneider, roughly, give or take, and not one other guy has made a Pro Bowl. And a Pro Bowl these days, like, the three of us can make a Pro Bowl. Like, everyone makes a Pro Bowl, with opt-outs and everything else. So that's really kind of hard to do, is to draft that many, that volume, and have that little success. They rarely sign guys a second contract that they draft on the offensive line. They've just missed. It's been the biggest miss in terms of Schneider's tenure in Seattle is the offensive line. They haven't done much. There's a feeling that maybe with the new offense with Clint Kubiak and the zone blocking scheme and what they like to do there, that out of the guys that kind of were in the middle last year, Ola Olatimi, the center, Laamea, and Christian Haynes are two guards, Jason Sundell. They think that maybe some of those guys might actually fit this offensive scheme and this blocking scheme better, which uses a little bit more athleticism. Anthony Bradford certainly doesn't. He's just a road grader. So, yeah, I don't know. I think, they'll draft offensive linemen. They always do. It's just a matter of will they draft good ones. I mean, Christian Haynes was a third-round pick last year. They thought he was going to come in and start right away, and the guy was over his skis from day one. So, good times. This is a solid conversation.
I love that you're playing it out, realizing how dark and depressing these can be sometimes. Let me ask you from your perspective, and I guess the sports fans up there perspective, what's bigger on the radar this summer for sports fans in Seattle? Sans football stuff, the Mariners and what they're currently doing and how that's going to go in the summer, or the prospect that Silver will finally announce expansion coming to Seattle in year blank and blank? Like, what's on the radar that's bigger for Seattle sports fan?
Well, I mean, the biggest sports story that our town will ever see or has seen or could possibly see outside of the Super Bowl and stuff like, I mean, really, but the biggest story will be when, you know, if and when the NBA returns. I don't think it's if, I think it's just when. I mean, you know, it's hard to imagine, you know, 41 years of having this that team here, the history they have, the success they had, even at the end when they were trying not to draw fans, they're still drawing 12,000 a game. And literally they tried not to bring people. They wanted nobody to come to the games. And under Clayton Bennett, the owner of Oklahoma City now, you know, and it's been, you know, they left in 2008. You know, we're coming up on, you know, 18 years of no NBA basketball in this city that was a great NBA town. And when it comes back, it'll be massive. It'll just be huge. It feels, you know, the timeline keeps getting pushed back, guys. And I think a lot of us felt like we would see the NBA here fall of 2026. But as soon as we got, you know, deeper into this season with nothing, that became apparent that wasn't going to happen. I think the earliest we could expect to see the NBA here would be fall of 2027. If, and that's just a big if they announce something, you know, by late summer or early fall to give, you know, a couple of years to ramp up. You've got to get a scouting staff put together. You've got to get a basketball ops put together. The key is we have a building, and yeah, we didn't have a building before. And Key Arena was the reason they left. We can blame a lot of things, and Howard Schultz is the individual, David Stern right there as well. You know, I don't blame Clayton Bennett as much. He bought a team to bring back to his hometown. But, you know, at the end of the day, we didn't have a building. When they opened up, they opened up Key Arena the same year they opened up the Moda Center. One was compatible for all things and was done perfectly. The other one was Key Arena. And so it was, it was such a disaster and a poor decision. Former owner Barry Ackerley made sure that no hockey could be played there. You know, now we know that it's better to have multiple tenants than one, mm-hmm, but they couldn't have that foresight. But yeah, when it comes up, you know, and it's the hardest thing now is I think people finally see a true light at the end of the tunnel. That's the thing. And we know that the ownership's going to include most of the Kraken ownership, especially Sam Holloway, the primary owner. And we know what's going on. I can tell you behind the scenes that it's being worked on. It's just laughable. And Silver says, "Oh, you know, we may have some conversations with Seattle, but we haven't talked yet." Well, yes, you have. Like, come on, like, stop it. But they, you know, they have to go through the formal process. I think they want to up the ante and see if there's a competition between it's Vegas, Seattle, but are there other markets that might actually push the price point higher? So, you know, it's the NBA. They don't do things fast, and certainly there's no sense of urgency. I think there might be some pushback from some owners around the league as well. So maybe by the late summer we'll have that story. That story will be huge, guys. It'll be absolutely massive. The Mariners were just, everybody's waiting for them to fail again. I mean, they're on a little bit of a heater right now.
Not
so
down here.
The Mariners world up here is pretty simple. You know, we don't expect good things. We can't have good things. So yeah, even though they've won three or four straight series, we're waiting for the fall.
Well, we're hoping NBA comes to Seattle soon, because that likely will mean Jody sells the Blazers. But, you know, based on our track record, who knows how long that will actually take. Last one for you, buddy, and we'll let you go. What's up with the Kraken and Turf and coaches? We used to cho-chop GMs down here. You guys are running through coaches up there.
Yeah, Bylsma just didn't work. I can tell you that. It just didn't work. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like they might retain Jessica Campbell, the first female assistant in the NHL. And so there's, you know, they're kind of dancing that around that a little bit, as much as they put into that story this year. But Dan, this disco just didn't work, man. It just was, the team was better than it showed on the ice. Mm. There's more talent. They had some key injuries, Jordan Eberle and Vince Dunn, Joey DeCour. They had some guys that were out for Yanni Gord for extended periods of time, and that hurt them. But it's just, there was no excuse for them to be that much worse than they were a year ago. And I do applaud them for this. Like, they don't care about paying people not to work. And if it's not working, yeah, they just move on. And, you know, it's the opposite. Like, it's interesting because there's a very, very similar thing with the Mariners that they're doing. Now, other NHL teams, Vegas, Vancouver notably, have done the same thing, where they have a president of hockey operations. In this case, Ron Francis, the GM's getting moved, quote, upstairs into a different title. Assistant GM Jason Botterill will be more of the face, day-to-day face. He'll be the GM. So you got kind of Francis overseeing Botterill, which is a lot like DePoto and Justin Hollander with the Mariners, for example. But I think that, you know, for the most part, Francis has put together what he could in terms of a good team. You know, he's made a couple of bad moves, Grubauer, Andre Burakovsky, but, you know, the draft picks, the team's still extremely young. Really, I mean, the core guys are pretty young. A lot of the good players, young guys. And I like what they're doing. I honestly, if it doesn't work, why go through a wasted season with a coach that's not going to, Chauncey, that's not going to be the guy? Why would you do that? Why would you just keep running? Why would you just keep, like,
let me ask you. He won 15 more games. Yeah.
Status quo Blazers are doing great down here, Furness.
82% chance to get the 11th pick in the draft. Why would you not extend? We made moves, baby.
All right, we got to go. We're against it.
Let's just let you can run it back and hope for different results, or you can be stuck in the lottery every single year. And both of our teams are up here. We'll see if one pulls itself out sooner than the other.
I love it. Ian Furness,
KJR. Who gets the finals first, the new Sonics or the Blazers?
I mean, we know the answer to that. It'll be the new Sonics. At Ian D. Furness on Twitter. Go give him a follow.
Hey, there's 10 teams. 10 teams in the West getting the playoffs, for God's
sake. That's true.
I mean,
half the league makes it down.
Disco might still be here if they had 10 teams in gel. He might still be here.
So. I love it. Tell Softy to enjoy the Bellevue Community College spring game this weekend. I think they're playing. Hopefully his NIL contributions are solid, and he's donating to his alma mater.
Really bowing down lately.
Always appreciate the time, buddy. Let's do it again soon. Thank you.
See you, boys. Bye-bye.
See you go. There you go. Ian Furness from KJR. Went a little long there. The Daily Ticker is brought to you by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. Did you know the return of warmer weather? Pelican is bringing back its summer seasonal beer. Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see. Let's get to some draft chatter, and we'll do it next, including potential trades and picks on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. We'll get to some of that audio coming up top of the hour. How does it keep getting worse? It's unbelievable. Millsack at 8:15. Your questions are welcome at the Fan text line, 503-864-6326. We'll answer them coming up here in about 20 minutes. Are you ready for smokescreen season?
Oh, smokescreen season. You think this is smokescreen?
What's real? What's not? I don't know. You know what the latest report is?
I do. I saw.
We'll do it. We'll do it. We're getting offers.
It's a Schreg bomb.
The Browns and the Giants.
And the Giants.
Second and third overall picks out of nowhere. 2 days before the draft, are saying, you know, we might trade the picks. We might trade these picks. We could trade them. Do you want this pick? Because if you want this pick, you better get on the phone and make us a good offer. Because somebody else is going to trade for this pick. I love the 2 day lead up to the draft. All the random crap that gets thrown against the wall.
Boy.
Are we sure this guy's healthy? Are we sure this guy doesn't love football? Are we positive about that? And now we start getting speculation on trades of the second and third overall picks.
I'm not saying they won't get traded, and I have a lot of respect for the dude that reported this morning. But Peter Schrager's new to ESPN. So if you told me a Peter Schrager, who is pretty well known by NFL diehards, but he's new to that network and those faces that watch that network, yo, can I get something?
Let's go. Give me a little juice.
And the Browns like, sure, man. We took a call once on the second pick.
Somebody offered us the fifth pick and a future second for the second pick.
you can run with that if you want.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be shocked. This is a dual favor here. This is Browns, Giants getting their team name said, trying to generate maybe some interest in a trade, although all the reporting seems to be that nobody really wants to trade up.
No.
And Schrager's new to a network, gets to go on, have a Schreg bomb, and so Schefter tweets it out, and he's all over ESPN shows. And reports.
And it's just they're taking calls, so it's not they're going to trade it or likely to trade, it's just they're taking calls. Why would they not be taking calls?
Well, you should always be taking calls.
Answer the phone. Somebody's calling you. I'm answering the phone.
Cleveland and New York, I'm told, they're doing their jobs.
They're doing their due diligence.
So, like, I hate to sound like this guy, but this just really seems like a very convenient thing for both the media member and the franchises.
It really does.
Both ways. And so I kind of see this and I say, yeah, could somebody trade it too? I guess. But I didn't need this report to think that already.
No.
This just feels like something that Peter Schrager can be at the forefront of ESPN. He just got signed to a massive deal. Hey, let's put him all over everything.
Let's get a Schrag bomb. Schrag bombs all over ESPN this morning. Did you know the second and third pick might get traded on Thursday?
Oh, my God.
I can't wait. The NFL draft right around the corner. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver online at crunch.com. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of our fine radio program.
Mm-hmm.
We got somebody doing this.
I think I probably put my foot in my mouth.
Just over and over. Has anybody ever been better at putting their foot in their mouth than Nico Harrison? That's a good poll question for today.
You want to do that as a poll question?
I think that's a pretty solid poll question. Has anybody ever put their... I mean, that was bad. I'm not saying he's good, but he also was able to jiggle the water bottle and get out of questions. Maybe Nico needed a water bottle on the dais yesterday.
Why does he keep doing press conferences?
I don't know. I don't get it. This is the first time it's actually been recorded. We'll start there. We'll get to a little cup check tonight in the NBA playoffs. And, of course, the mail sack at 8:15. Your questions are welcome. 503-864-6326. That is the fan text line. It's a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.